Good morning from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church in beautiful Silver Hill, Alabama, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship encouragement, God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me through the night from all harm and danger. I pray that you would keep me this day from all sin and evil, that in all my thoughts and words and deeds I may serve and please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lutherans subscribe to the great confessions of faith of the early church. God has not changed, and our faith remains firm in the teachings of the Bible. That's why we often share what is called the Apostles' Creed in our weekly worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, let's pray together as we ready our hearts for today's Bible reading. Gracious Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth and sharing your good news of salvation for mankind. Open your holy word to us this morning. Along with our Heavenly Father and your Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts and nurture us in your word. Amen. Why do people go into the ministry? We often think of those who preach a prosperity gospel. The idea behind that kind of gospel is that you and I do the right thing in God's eyes so we can make him give us what we desire. Does that make sense? When we are talking about a God who is Lord of the universe, when we look at the motivation for sharing God's word, we find prophets who tell us that God's word will not stay within them, that there is an urgency to share what God wants the world to know. In today's lesson, St. Paul is describing motivation, the reason behind his preaching. It is fascinating. The lesson is from 1 Corinthians 9, verses 16 through 23. Paul writes, verse 16, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." Did you get that? Paul says that he cannot write home about some great calling here. He says, I've got to preach the gospel of Christ or I will be in real hot water. The hot water's from God. Paul continues, verse 17, For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. Paul explains, If I do this for some reward, I must be out of my head. You call prison and beatings a reward? No one would choose to do this. I am doing this because I have to. It is God's will, not mine. Paul argues that since God has given Paul the challenge of preaching the gospel, it is really a stewardship. Preaching God's word is stewardship of what God has given. The message of God's salvation must be taken care of. The Greek idea behind the word stewardship is one of faith and trust. When one is given something by God to do, we trust that we must carry out what God intends. Paul next asks a very important question in 18. What is my reward then? He answers his own question. God's reward has to do with honoring God. There is nothing here about being successful in worldly terms. There is nothing here about having a big bank account or a fancy home or a TV program watched by millions. Success in God's terms does not relate to the usual measurements of success. Listen to Paul finish this idea. Paul says that when I preach the gospel, I present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. The sense here is this. Paul has been given this gospel so that it can be freely given by him to others. Any authority Paul has relates to the giving away of the gospel, not to gathering in wealth. Well, how does that affect a life when a person is called to bring God's word? If God lays this kind of task on a person, does a person like Paul have any options? How much choice is there in sharing the gospel? Paul continues, verse 19, For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. That is, Paul explains, that God has not made Paul a zombie. He has full use of his faculties, and he has the ability to use his head to share God's word. The message of the gospel is for all people, and Paul's strategy for sharing that gospel is to be a servant to all. His goal? To win people to Christ. Well, how did this strategy work out in the early days of the church? Paul gives some examples at this point. To the Jewish mind, the world was divided into Jewish people and everybody else. Paul was Jewish. He knew how to be a good Jewish person. He says, verse 20, And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, that's the Jewish law of Moses, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. Think about what this means. Paul is saying that God gave me this gospel. He led me to different kinds of people to share this gospel. When God led me to Jewish people, I leveled with them on their own terms. I interpreted God's word in Jewish terms. I talked their language. Well, perhaps you've noticed that the world is not Jewish. If you are Jewish, you see more goyim than Jewish people. Except for the nation of Israel, it has always been a Gentile world. Paul was brought up as a Jewish boy and a young man. He was a Jewish man, but he saw that God's gospel message was for all people, not just Jewish people. When Paul realized that salvation in Jesus Christ is a universal gift, his strategy for sharing the gospel changed. He sought out people where they were. He sought out Jewish people in their synagogues. He sought out those non-Jewish people where they were. As he says, verse 21, I became to those who are without law, the Gentiles, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ. The importance of the gospel and God's placing it on Paul's heart comes through very clearly here in the rest of verse 21. I did this that I might win those who are without the law for Jesus Christ. The rationale for such a gospel is salvation. When we use the word salvation, we sometimes forget what it means. It means saving. You and I lose things all the time. How many times have you walked in a park or across a parking lot and found a coin that someone has lost? We have savings banks for coins, a place to put coins that might otherwise get lost. Paul explains that people are like coins. In God's perspective, people get lost. They are lost because of their own actions. We Christians talk about sin. Sin separates us from God. Sin is what gets us lost. Paul says, I have to find those who are lost, both Jewish people and Gentiles. That's why Paul says in verse 22, to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Gospel means literally good news. God's word is good news. Paul concludes today's lesson by saying, verse 23, now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. God's word is shared with people, you see. It is not for some and not for others. Paul explains that God's purpose in sending Jesus Christ and giving the gospel of Christ relates directly to God. Again, God's purpose is not to give followers of Jesus a successful life in worldly terms. God desires to give people salvation through Jesus. Sin separates from God, but Jesus Christ saves. Jesus connects people with our Heavenly Father. Oh, what about wealth? Paul would say, use what God has given you to bring the gospel to the people God brings into your life. What God has given us is a tool for sharing the good news, especially if God has laid a gospel message on our hearts. Well, perhaps God has someone in mind for your gospel message. As we end our time together, let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, please join us for worship this morning at 10 a.m. if you can. Zion Lutheran Church is a liturgical traditional Lutheran church located in Silver Hill on the corner of 4th Avenue and 7th Street. We are one block south of State Highway 104 and two blocks west of Highway 55. If you find the Silver Hill Library landmark, you are just a block away. Look for our signs. Want more information about our Lutheran Fellowship? Come to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or give us a call at 945-5209. May God bless you in your spiritual walk this week, and don't forget to catch God's loving kindness in the morning next Sunday, same time and same place on your radio dial. Have you had the opportunity to bless a child in India or in Baldwin County? Zion Lutheran Church understands that the Holy Spirit brings people together within the body of Christ to accomplish His will. We have two mission projects that perhaps the Holy Spirit might plant on your heart. The first project relates to the Dalit children in Cherala. We used to call the Dalit people the Untouchables. Children are the hope of the Indian church in many ways, but the Dalits are out of the education loop in India. St. Paul's Lutheran Public School in Cherala, Andhra Pradesh, India, can use our help for Dalit education. The second potential project relates to you if you live north of I-10 and south of I-65 in Baldwin County. We at Zion believe that the Lord wants to establish a Lutheran fellowship in this area. If the Lord lays the needs of the Dalit children on your heart, or if you desire to be part of a Lutheran fellowship in North Baldwin, please call us at 945-5209.